There's one hidden pattern keeping you stuck, and once you see it, everything changes. It's not your age, it's not your arms or your discipline. It's a mental habit running quietly in the background. And today, I'm going to show you exactly how it works and how to break free from it. You're listening to the Arm Coach Podcast with me, Christine Rucker, Arm Coach and founder of the Arms by Christine program. Here, we talk about toned and sculpted arms and what it really takes to get sustainable results so you can feel proud and confident in sleeveless clothes. Hey everyone, welcome to the Arm Coach Podcast, episode 107. So I was walking earlier and thinking about this episode, and I caught myself smiling because I genuinely love that this is my work. I get to talk with you about the exact things that actually change lives. And today's topic, self-pity. Yep, we're going there. Now stay with me because this might shift something big for you. So let me ask you something. How many of you have felt a little discouraged, maybe a little sorry for yourself when it comes to your arms not changing the way you want? When you've tried routines before, when you've started and stopped, when you've told yourself you should be further along by now, it can feel really easy to slip into that heavy, defeated headspace. I know that place well. I spent years there, years believing my body was the problem, years thinking maybe I just didn't have what it takes. That emotional spiral has a name, and most people never realize they're stuck in it. So today we're talking about self-pity, what it is, why it quietly keeps women stuck in the start over cycle, and most important, how to recognize it so it stops running the show. But before we talk about self-pity specifically, we need to understand pity as an emotion all on its own. Pity is simply a feeling of sorrow for someone's misfortune. Okay, that's it. And that's the definition. And when we feel pity for someone else, it can seem compassionate or even kind. You might hear that and think, that doesn't sound like a problem. Feeling sorrow for someone who's struggling seems like a good thing, right? And you're right. Directed toward others, pity can look harmless, sometimes even generous. But when that same emotion turns inward and gets directed at yourself, something very different starts happening. That's where things get sneaky, and that's where we're headed next. Now, I want you to pause for a second and really think about this. Who do you tend to feel pity for? Most people picture situations that seem obviously deserving of it. Someone struggling financially, someone facing physical limitations, someone whose life has been turned upside down by circumstances they didn't choose. Your brain naturally goes there because those situations feel distant from your own life. And that distance matters more than you might realize. Here's the truth that most people don't talk about. The moment you feel pity for someone, your brain quietly separates between you and them. Not because you're a bad person, because that's how the human mind categorizes the world. It simplifies, it labels, it sorts. And you already know how I feel about labels. The instant we label someone, we shrink them. We take a complex, layered, fully human person and reduce them to one description, one circumstance, one trait. They stop being a whole person in our mind and start becoming a category. And that's what pity does under the surface. It subtly positions you here and them down there. Not intentionally, not consciously. Still, that hierarchy sneaks in. Your brain compares, and comparison almost always comes with a quiet sense of relief, a subtle, at least that's not me. That part can feel uncomfortable to admit. Most people don't want to say that out loud. Yet, if you're honest, you've probably caught your mind doing it before. I know I have. And this is why nobody actually enjoys being pitied. No one wants to be the person someone else looks down on, ever gently. No one wants to feel like they're the sad story in someone else's narrative. You can sense when someone is placing you in that lower position, even if they never said it directly. So when someone pities you, it creates distance. One person feels elevated, the other feels diminished. And human beings are wired to resist anything that makes them feel small, inferior, or reduced to a label. Okay, so now hold on to that idea, because in the next part, we're going to flip it inward. And when you see what happens when you start pitying yourself about your arms, your consistency, or your habits, it changes the way you understand why you've felt stuck. Okay, so I remember when I first started sharing this podcast and talking publicly about my own journey with my arms, my habits, and my mindset, right? All of it. I sent out messages, posted episodes, talked about it openly because I was proud. And not proud in like, oh, look at me kind of way, proud in a wow. I actually figured something out that changed my life kind of way. And what surprised me were some of the responses I got. A few people said things like, oh, I feel so bad that you struggled like that. Or I'm so sorry you went through that. And I remember reading those and honestly, like feeling confused. My brain was like, wait, why do you feel bad for me? Because figuring out why I used to start and stop, why I didn't trust myself to follow through, why I thought my arms were the problem, that wasn't something tragic. That was one of the most powerful things that ever happened to me. Understanding my patterns taught me how my mind actually works. It showed me what creates my emotions. It showed me that I can feel discomfort without running from it. It showed me I don't need to escape a feeling just because it's uncomfortable. Now, that realization alone changed everything. When you finally understand your own habits, it's like someone hands you the instruction manual to your brain. You realize you're not broken. You're not behind. You're not the exception. You're just someone who hadn't been taught the skill yet. Learning how to work with my mind instead of fighting it gave me something way bigger than toned arms. It gave me self-trust. It gave me the ability to stay steady even when motivation dips, when life gets messy, when emotions run high. And that kind of power is quiet, but it is life-changing. And honestly, isn't that what most people are really craving underneath all of their goals? To feel steady inside of themselves, to feel capable, to feel like they can create results on purpose instead of feeling pushed around by moods and circumstances or old habits. Because when you learn that skill, you stop feeling like life is happening to you, and you start realizing you have way more influence over your experience than you were ever taught to believe. I remember reading those messages and thinking, I genuinely don't understand why you feel sorry for me. This wasn't something sad that happened to me. This was something powerful that I figured out. And I was proud of it, so deeply proud. But what was happening there was fascinating. They were looking at my story and seeing distance, right? Distance between where they believed they were and where they believed I had been. And from that distance came a quiet thought most people never say out loud, but almost everyone has had at some point. Oh, thank goodness that's not me. That's the effect pity creates. So when someone is pitying another person, their brain has already decided instantly and subconsciously that they're in the better position. And from that vantage point, there are two big things they can't see. First, they can't see that the person they pity might have a completely different interpretation of their own experience. Someone might look at you and think, oh, poor her. She is struggling with consistency or confidence or her arms. Meanwhile, you're over here realizing, wait a second. Learning this is actually giving me insight most people never gain. This is growth. This is awareness. This is power. Now, second, when someone pities you, they stop seeing you as a full human being. They see a label, a problem, a storyline, and labels are always incomplete. They erase complexity. They erase strength. They erase possibility. Because here's the truth most people miss. Every single person, regardless of their current results, still has enormous power. Not someday, not after they change, right now. And that power comes from understanding the cycle that drives everything that you do. Your thoughts create your feelings. Your feelings drive your actions. Your actions create your results. When someone is busy pitying you, they can't see that power in you. They can't see your agency. They can't see your potential. All they see is the surface snapshot that their brain labeled. That's what pity is. And that's why it feels uncomfortable when someone directs it towards you. So here's the real question. If we don't like being pitied by other people, why do so many of us turn around and do it to ourselves? Why do we slip into self-pity when it comes to our progress, our habits, our bodies, our follow-through? Because self-pity is one of the sneakiest traps there is. I fell into it for years. I see clients fall into it all the time. And most don't even realize it's happening. So let's define it clearly. Self-pity is when you dwell on your own struggles or frustrations and tell yourself that what you're dealing with is unfair, excessive, or more than you should have to handle. Now, that last part is the piece most people miss, and it matters so much. Self-pity isn't just noticing that something feels hard. It's deciding that what you're dealing with is more unfair than what other people have to deal with. It's the belief that you've somehow been singled out for a harder experience. I lived there for years. My mind sounded like this on repeat. Why is this so hard for me? Why does everyone else seem to figure this out? Why can they stay consistent, but I can't? Why do I keep starting over? Why does my body respond slower than theirs? That was the mental loop that I lived in. I camped out in that unfairness story. And when your brain keeps telling you life is treating you unfairly, it starts to feel very convincing. It feels factual. It feels justified. It feels true But here's the problem. The moment you start feeling sorry for yourself, you stop changing what you actually can change. Instead of adjusting your plan, instead of learning a skill, instead of trying a new approach, you sit in the feeling. And this is where understanding the thought, feeling, action cycle changes everything. It always starts with thoughts. Thoughts like, why me? Why is this easier for her? Why is my progress so slow? Those thoughts create a feeling. Okay. In this case, the feeling is self-pity. And remember, self-pity is that indulgent dwelling on your own struggle while telling yourself it's unfair. Now, notice what that feeling does. When you feel self-pity, you don't take powerful action. You don't experiment. You don't stay curious. You don't follow through. You dwell. You hesitate. You stall. You scroll. You compare. You tell yourself you'll try again later. Self-pity always produces stuck. It never produces momentum. Not once, not ever. And here's what's wild. We all know it doesn't feel good. No one finishes a day and says, wow, I really enjoyed feeling sorry for myself today. That was amazing. Yet we still fall into it. We still let it run the show, which raises a really important question. If we don't like being pitied by other people and we don't even enjoy pitying ourselves, why does our brain keep choosing it? Why does the mind keep drifting back into self-pity even when we know it keeps us stuck? The answer is almost deceptively simple. Your brain is wired for three things: seek pleasure, avoid discomfort, conserve energy. That wiring is ancient. It helped humans survive when daily life was unpredictable and sometimes dangerous. Back then, efficiency and caution, it kept you alive. A brain that said, don't risk it or take the easy route, was a brain that protected you. Fast forward to now, most of us are not worrying about survival in the way our ancestors did. We're worrying about emails, schedules, opinions, notifications, dinner plans, and whether we're doing life right. Yet we're still running the same survival software, okay? And here's where that old programming starts to work against us. We live in a world filled with instant comfort, effortless entertainment, endless scrolling, quick dopamine hits, convenience everywhere. Your brain doesn't have to hunt for pleasure anymore. It's surrounded by it all day long. So your lower brain keeps doing what it was designed to do. It nudges you towards, you know, what's easy. It steers you away from what feels uncomfortable. It whispers, don't push, don't strain, don't risk failure, don't try too hard, right? That's the exact environment where self-pity thrives, because choosing growth usually requires discomfort, right? Changing your habits requires discomfort. Building strength requires discomfort. Following through when motivation dips, that requires discomfort. And your brain's top priority is avoiding discomfort. So when you start thinking thoughts like, this is so hard for me, why is this easier for everyone else? Maybe I just can't do this. Those thoughts create a feeling. That feeling is self-pity, and self-pity is emotionally heavy, but physically easy. You don't have to take action. You don't have to risk failing. You don't have to stretch. You just sit in the story. From your brain's perspective, that's efficient. It's conserving energy. It's avoiding risk. It's doing exactly what it was designed to do, which means something really important. If you've ever fallen into self-pity around your progress, your consistency, or your arms, that does not mean there's something wrong with you. It means your brain is doing its job. But here's the turning point. Real change asks you to feel discomfort on purpose. There's just no way around it. Learning a new habit, showing up when you don't feel like it, lifting weights when your mind wants the couch, staying consistent when results feel slow, all of that requires a willingness to feel uncomfortable. Okay, here's what makes this so sneaky. Self-pity feels awful, yet it's incredibly easy. It asks nothing of you. No effort, no stretch, no risk. The more your mind repeats thoughts like, why is this so hard for me? Why does my body respond slower? The more permission you give yourself to stay exactly where you are. Because if the story is that life dealt you the harder hand, then of course you can't change yet. Of course it makes sense that you're stuck. Of course it's understandable that you haven't followed through. See how convenient that is for the part of your brain that wants comfort? Self-pity keeps feeding the loop. Why me? Why me? Why me? It sounds convincing. It feels justified, yet it keeps you parked. If you want to step out of self-pity, there's one belief that you have to be willing to question. The belief that you've been handed more struggle that is fair or reasonable. Okay, let me tell you, releasing that belief can feel hard at first. It did for me. I clung to it. My brain wanted proof that things had been harder for me. It almost felt protective. If I let go of that story, then I'd lose my excuse or my explanation, like my shield. But I want you to gently challenge your mind here. When your thoughts say, this is unfair, or I've had it harder than most, pause and ask one simple question. Says who? Who decided your path was too hard? Who declared your circumstances unreasonable? Who measured your discomfort and ruled it excessive? Your lower brain will answer instantly. It will say you have. It will insist the struggle is too much because your lower brain's entire job is to avoid discomfort at all costs. It wants ease. It wants relief. It wants the quickest path to feeling better. Left in charge, it would choose comfort every single time. More ease, more pleasure, always. But think about this. If humans were meant to feel good all of the time, we would never grow. We'd never adapt. We'd never build strength. We'd never discover what we're capable of. We'd stay exactly as we are because there'd be no reason to change. Discomfort is what stretches you. Discomfort is what builds you. Discomfort is what reveals you, right? Growth literally depends on your willingness to feel things that aren't comfortable yet. Self-pity moves you in the opposite direction. It casts you as the victim, a victim of your genetics, your schedule, a victim of your past, your age, your metabolism, a victim of your circumstances. And here's the hidden danger in that role. If you're the victim, then something else must be the force in charge. Something else must be the authority deciding your results. Your life starts to feel like it's happening to you instead of being created by you. But this is where understanding your think, feel, act cycle changes everything. Circumstances on their own, they're neutral. They don't create your emotions. What creates your emotions is what you think about those circumstances. the meaning that you assign, the interpretation that you choose, the story that you tell. That means your experience is not dictated by what happens. It's shaped by how you think about what happens. Listen, the struggle you're having with your arms or your consistency or follow through can be interpreted in two completely different ways. It can be the most unfair thing that's ever happened to you, or it can be the challenge that teaches you how to actually understand and direct your mind. You get to decide which meaning it holds, because the circumstance itself, your current habits, your results, your starting point, all of that is neutral. None of it creates emotion on its own. It's your thoughts about it that do. And for a long time, my thoughts were creating nothing but self-pity. So here's what I want you to really land. The patterns you're trying to change, the starting and stopping, the inconsistency, the avoidance, those didn't appear out of nowhere. You built them, maybe not on purpose, not consciously, but you did build them through repetition, thoughts, and responses. And that is the best news that you could possibly hear, because anything you built, you can rebuild. If your current patterns were just who you are, if they were permanent traits stamped into your identity, then yes, you'd be stuck. But they're not. They're learned. And learned means changeable. The only time someone stays trapped is when they decide their situation is fixed. When they decide, this is just how I am, that belief feeds self-pity. And self-pity keeps you parked because it tells you there's no point trying. Meanwhile, your lower brain's thrilled. It gets to conserve energy. It gets to avoid discomfort. It gets to steer you towards what's easy. And while it's doing that, the results you don't want keep stacking up. But something shifts the moment you take responsibility for how you think, how you feel, and how you act. Self-pity stops being useful. It starts looking unnecessary, even pointless. And that's actually a relief because it never felt good to begin with. So if you notice yourself stuck there, I want you to slow down and get curious instead of critical. Grab a notebook and write these out. Don't just think them through in your head. There's clarity that only shows up when your thoughts hit paper. So first question, do you feel self-pity about your arms or your progress? If yes, why? What exact thoughts are creating that feeling? A second, when you feel that emotion, what do you do or not do? What actions follow it? And third, how is self-pity helping you? And be honest here. Every emotion serves a purpose, even ones we don't like. What is it giving you permission to avoid? Okay. And then fourth, when has complaining about how unfair things are ever actually moved you forward? And then finally, do you trust yourself to create change? And if not, what thoughts are shaping that belief? Okay, these questions are powerful because they shine light on patterns most people run on autopilot for years. When I first understood this work, it shifted how I saw everything, right? Not just one habit, every area where I used to feel sorry for myself. I started noticing those moments and thinking, wow, my brain really wants to tell me the poor me story right now. And that awareness alone, it changed the game. So if something clicked for you today, stay with it. Explore it. This is deep work, and it's the kind that changes more than results. It changes how you relate to yourself. All right, my friend, I'm so glad that you're here and doing this work with me. If there's a topic that you want covered on a future episode, send it my way, and I'll see you next time. Hey, before you go, if this episode or any of the other episodes on this podcast have helped you in any way, please leave a 5-star rating and review. Your review will help us find and have maximum impact on as many women as possible. While you're there, hit the subscribe button so we can continue on this journey to Sculpted Arms together. Thank you so much for your support. I've loved having you here today, and talk soon in the next episode.